Good morning, brothers and sisters. It's almost 3 a.m. on Wednesday, June the 8th, 2022. It's almost 3 a.m. in Utah. And here in Utah, you can already sense that the creatures of the world are waking up. The little creatures and the worms and the maggots and the fleas, they're getting up, they're getting ready for work. All the monsters that live in the caves, the dream mine. You know about the dream mine? I do. I live in Utah. And deep in that mine is the sarcophagus of fate. And within the sarcophagus of fate, there is the magic wand of perseverance. Because this is Utah, baby. And what do I have to tell you, brothers and sisters? Well, number one, this podcast has absolutely no outline. So if it ever gets posted, you'll say, "Dan, where are the notes?" And the notes are nowhere. They're in the vacuum. They're in the Tesla space. They're in the ether. They're between the gaps and atoms. That's where my notes are. The space between electrons. The probability cloud. You want to find my notes? Go find your lost puppy, motherfucker. Ain't got no fucking notes. So it looks like there's a 80% chance I'm going to be offered a job in the next day or two. I say 80% because nothing is really a certainty in the great discontinuity, personally, privately, publicly, or otherwise. There are strange attractors everywhere. And as I've said in a previous podcast or two, I didn't expect to be looking for work in corporate America ever again. If that sounds fatalistic or pessimistic, you think of that however you want to. Okay, but make sure you work at least a couple weeks at Redmond Campus in Washington State, Microsoft, before you have a fucking opinion. All right? Because I'd seen enough. I'd seen enough of the waste, enough of the propaganda, enough of the social justice warriors. I'd seen enough of all of it. And the one thing that was clear to me long before the airplane started falling out of the sky is that engineering and sciences in this country has gone to hell, downhill. The priorities are not about the math, it's not about the science, it's not about design, but it is about making sure everybody feels okay. And when you begin to notice that, you realize there's no end game there. if you think the end game is a new world order kind of centralized government to run everything, then you're an idiot. You think that stupidity scales up. The only direction that stupidity scales in is towards disaster. That's it. So stupidity does not scale up. Government is filled with idiots. The people that currently think they run the world are a lot of fucking morons. And you believe they're going to achieve some vast control grid. This is absurd. I mean, if you want to have faith in government, keep voting. I know there are people out there that call themselves libertarians, but then they'll say, "Oh, Dan, but don't touch my NASA. I really believe in space. I'm a libertarian, but I think NASA's great. We went to the moon." We went to the moon, Dan. We brought back moon rocks. We gave them to countries. It's petrified wood. I've met anarchists who I don't even really think are actual anarchists. I am fairly convinced that the anarchist movement in the United States of America for the last 100 years, and I think that there's more than a few anarchists of the past who, if they were alive, would confirm this, but I'm pretty certain the anarchist movement has been one of the most deeply infiltrated and fucked with groups of people in American political history. And it's not accidental, because we're not telling you to vote for A or vote for B. We're telling you to stop fucking voting. We're not telling you that this is a good tax or a bad tax. We're saying if you can figure out a way to not pay your taxes, that's what you should do. We're not saying, "Oh, make sure you support your Second Amendment." Brothers and sisters, you were born free. You don't need a fucking judge or a fucking lawyer or anybody to tell you you're free. You don't need a public school to tell you you are free. And you don't need a Second Amendment to have the right to defend your life and the people you love and your property. If you want to build your own gun, build your own gun. Build your own fucking laser cannon as much as I fucking care. And if you want to go to Cabela's and register your name with some fucking bureaucrat and live in the paranoid box that the NRA and Gun Owners of America keeps you trapped in, if you want to respond to every stupid politician claiming they're going to steal every gun, let me remind you what my European friend told me, who lived in a country where you couldn't own a gun. He said, "Give me 90 minutes and $500 and I'll get you a fully automatic AK-47. 90 minutes. Paris, Berlin, it doesn't matter where. London. Yeah, they got cameras everywhere. Wow. Installed by some of the dumbest fuckers that ever were fucking born. Give me 90 minutes and you have a fully automatic assault weapon. An actual military assault rifle. Folks, gun control only works in one way, and that's if you, within your brain, trap yourself in a prison. Anarchists will tell you, you can go buy a gun, go buy it on the street, go buy it from somebody that 3D prints them. Go buy one of these ghost guns, go buy a gun from a friend. There are lots of ways of getting guns without going to fucking Cabela's. All right? That's why anarchists are dangerous. That's why I've run into feds, and only in the last few months have I understood what that means. And it isn't because I'm special, all right? That's also something you got to get over, brothers and sisters. None of us is that special. If you lived during the late imperial period in the Western Roman Empire, and you lived in Rome, you lived in an age of paranoia. You did live in an age where people were afraid of losing everything they had left. And towards the end, the people that have to hold on to the past become dangerous. And they end up doing crooked things like spying on their neighbors and ratting each other out. Am I surprised by any of this? I told people this would happen. Not because I'm a fucking ESP precog bullshit artist, not because I'm some fucking soothsayer, but because I understood enough of human history to see where things were going. A few other people did. Maybe many others. A lot of people didn't. So yeah, the feds spend a lot of money fucking with people who want to talk to you about freedom. And that's also something to meditate on in the United States of America. The United States government spends tremendous resources right now on monitoring, controlling, and limiting your free speech and your free communication. Much, if not all, but a fair portion of the COVID-19 monkey herpes bullshit was about keeping people from communicating, so that the only way they could talk to each other is with Facebook or Twitter or TikTok. But God forbid people meet in a bar and just have a fucking conversation, you know? Just talk. Because if they were talking 2 years ago in a bar, some of them might have said, this is bullshit. They might have said, holy fuck, I went to the hospital. There's nothing going on there. I would have talked to people about what I saw with Chaz Chopia and the BLM Antifa bullshit, and how full of shit people were reporting it as some kind of communist insurgency. I know what a fucking plainclothes cop looks like. I know what a fucking Fed or military MI person dressed up as a fucking social justice warrior looks like. What I saw in Seattle was a 100% taxpayer-paid Fed mindfuck. It wasn't some communist insurgency. Believe me, the FBI has had control of the communist insurgency in this country since the 1920s, for 100 years. So please, shut the fuck up. Your government spends money to fuck with you. Your government spends resources and money to take away your freedom, and this is in the land of the free. You want to know why anarchists are dangerous? Because they're going to try to convince you that the biggest mistake you ever make is taking your power and giving it to somebody else. In any form. I don't care if it's in a job or work situation. I don't care if it's with respect to somebody in your life. If you take your power and say, you can have it, I am your slave, that's a mistake. And if your contention might be, well, Dan, what about being a parent? Well, being a parent isn't being a slaveholder or a slave. It's called being a parent. If you can't disambiguate a slave society from a family, then I hope you're never a parent. I hope you never have kids. If you don't know the difference between a military complex and a family, between a prison and a family, between a plantation where you beat people and a family, if you can't tell the difference, I hope the fuck you never have kids. I hope the fuck that you understand this before you're ever around children. There's a big, big difference. Huge difference. Anarchism in America creates fear for people in power for the simple fact that we're selling a very inexpensive, low-risk message, and that is that you deal with the government however you need to. We're not selling violence. This isn't 100 years ago where, you know, the early FBI would try to convince you that there are all these crazy, creepy guys with little black mustaches holding little round black bombs trying to blow up factories. That was bullshit then, it's bullshit now. Anarchists want us to resolve problems without violence. And as a corollary to that, you do have a right to self-defense. It's true, the two things work together. Okay? Anarchists are opposed to bullies in any form. Okay? So what we're trying to tell people basically is that you can keep living your life, but you can live it better. You can keep being you, but you can be you completely. You can do all these things, but you just have to wake up and realize that nobody gave you your freedom. If you're an atheist, definitely nobody gave you your freedom. And if you're a Christian like me, there is somebody you owe allegiance to, it's the Lord in heaven. Read 1 Samuel chapter 8. understand the book of Romans and get over it, okay? You need to understand, as a Christian, you have allegiance to one person, and that's Jesus Christ. Everybody else is just talking. I was a libertarian until 2016. I've talked about this before. And, you know, it was during the presidential election. I don't even like remembering the guy's name any longer, but the guy running for the libertarian position, you know, Johnson, whoever the hell. It was one of those moments. He says something like, "Bake the cake." And I thought to myself, brother, you don't understand. Like, it's not about gender rights. It is about respect. And respect is not something you can pass a law about, and it's not something you intimidate people about. If you have a bakery that decides it does not want to create a cake for a gay wedding, you may not like that, and I don't think you should go to that restaurant, but me personally, I think you should let people do that. I also think you should let racists act like racists. I can guarantee you the shunning is way more powerful than the guns. And the guns don't help. They never helped. They didn't help with the civil rights movement. Maybe the FBI and the feds want to convince you that they did, but they didn't. At the end of the day, the shunning works better over time. And communities can deal with that better over time. When the government comes in and says, well, you better make sure you do A, B, and C, even if A, B, and C are principled things to do, all you've really proven is that by threatening people with force, they might behave. So what happens when the guns aren't there? What happens when the cops don't show up? If you build a society based upon the fear that there'll be repercussions from the state, what kind of behavior do you expect when the lights are out for 6 weeks in a row? You see, another thing anarchists are selling, and this is something people get confused about because of government propaganda, we're selling stability, actually. We're selling peace. You know, the kind of organic community that has a foundation, that has solidity from the ground up. The government is really good at creating chaos and then calling it anarchy. No, the government is a chaos engine. It out of its stupidity comes a lot of really bad ideas and bad outcomes, and these often disrupt and destroy. You know, so when the government says anarchy, or you hear the word anarchy in the news, the word that you should substitute is chaos, and I can promise you that's a 100% government-produced product. People will sort their shit out. People will come to formal and informal agreements. People can behave in respectful, decent ways if they're allowed to. But if you build a society around public schools, fear, and threats, if you build a society around a control grid, and that system fails, what you end up with are people who do not know how to live with other people. That's what you end up with, is a society of children. Up and down, right and left, the whole thing. Thank you. anarchists will try to convince you, like myself, that you do not need a lawyer or the government to solve a problem with your neighbor. And I will also tell you that no amount of cops, no amount of government will ever fix the worst case scenario. This isn't Eden. This is not the Millennium Kingdom. This is never going to be a perfect place. So only a fool would tell you that, well, we can end up with a society where nobody ever kills anybody. That's never going to happen. You're never going to have a society without tragedy. It's going to be a thing. It's always going to be a thing. But what you can do is you can reduce the tragedy that requires money to be stolen from you, aka taxes, to turn tragedy into an industry, aka the military-industrial complex. You can avoid that. But the way you avoid that is by not participating in this bullshit. That's it. And with respect to this whole situation we find ourselves in, I have of late come to the simple conclusion that it's too late. I'm not saying that it's the end of the world. I'm saying it's too late to convince enough people to fix this on this side of the mountain. Like, we're going to go tumbling down the other side of the mountain pretty fucking soon. And the government's not going to make it through that. Sorry. Like I said, stupidity does not scale well. It doesn't. You can pile shit only so high. If you believe in the New World Order, then you believe you can make a ship pile to outer space. It ain't going to fucking happen. Okay? No amount of Hollywood propaganda that shows you the Millennium Falcon traveling faster than the speed of light is going to make an actual rocket travel faster than the speed of light. And no amount of Hollywood propaganda is going to make any of this robot, cybernetic AI bullshit happen. None of it. You can only pile shit so high. So me talking to folks about anarchism at this point, it's a bit futile. It is. There is some futility there. Chances are the people listening right now, even if they're not anarchists, understand enough of what I'm saying that I'm not really telling them anything they don't already know. And people out there in the world who are still working on this idea that they're going to vote in November and that's going to fix things, or vote in 2024, no, that's over. You just don't, I mean, you may not know it yet. There might be an election this fall, but that having any effect or doing anything useful is done. It never really worked, and it will never work again. That's where you're at. And I'm not going to convince any of those motherfuckers that what they're doing is stupid. They need to do it. They need to. They're working through the grieving process. They're still in that denial, anger, bargaining, turning circle. I couldn't say anything to these people to change their minds. These are people that would rather starve their body of oxygen by wearing multiple coffee filters on their faces than recognize the possibility that they're being fucking lied to. They would rather put coffee filters on their babies and their kids in the heat of summer in a city where the oxygen levels are already too low. They would rather harm their own family, threaten their own family, accuse their own family, than even come remotely close to what's called the truth. So no, brothers and sisters, you're not going to be really convincing a lot of people at this point on this side of the mountain. You're not. You know, they think they're at the peak. They think there's a whole nother level up. The sun's going down, baby. And that walking down the other side of the mountain, knowing that that's it. Yeah, that's going to be rough on a lot of people. It already is. on this side of the mountain, people are still getting Social Security checks. On this side of the mountain, there's still food at the grocery store. I mean, yeah, it's getting pixelated, but that's okay, right? On this side of the mountain, you still got jobs for some people, right? I mean, I guess. Like I said, there's an 80% chance I'll land a job here in the next couple days, and that would be great, you know? And it would be great to just get some income coming in, and that is all wonderful. I don't know how long that lasts. I really don't. A year ago, if you told me I'd still be podcasting today, I would have said you're an optimist. And I'm still kind of in that frame. You know, I'm pretty certain this crazy, this level of crazy, is unsustainable. Okay? And I'm also fairly certain that you can only stack shit so fucking high. And this idea that they're going to stack so much shit to have a one-world government is mentally ill. People tell me this, and I'm trying to say, listen, buddy, you're expressing a fear. Your fear is not the one-world government. Your fear is that there will be nobody. That you will be in a city surrounded by people who have all of their principles, all their ethics given to them by public schools and fear. You know, how do you like them apples? Try being around those people when the food is gone. You tell me about the FEMA camp, and I'm telling you, you're really saying, on, you know, expressed from your unconscious to your conscious mind, what you're really saying is you're afraid they just won't be there. No black helicopters, no National Guard, no one is going to come to save you at all. And you will be surrounded by hundreds of thousands of hungry people, and all of them will definitely have less food on hand than you. Maybe you're a prepper. Maybe you've got a basement full of food. If you think that makes your situation safer, you're fucking crazy. All right? You're insane. You don't have enough bullets. You don't have enough rifles. About the only chance in hell anybody has at this point is to be part of a community, a tribe, a family they can trust. And ideally, to be someplace where there's, you know, more food and water than people, aka not the city. But how do you convince somebody that's making 200 grand a year at Google that within a matter of a few months they could be stuck in a really nice expensive condo surrounded by grombo beasts who haven't eaten for 6 weeks, and believe me, they're starting to look at each other like they're food? How do you explain to somebody like that that they could change today? That they could change the way they looked at the world today? That instead of being obsessed with elections and politicians and Hunter Biden's pubic hairs, they could actually make rational decisions about, you know, their survival? And get the fuck out of the city. And if you want to stay in a city, fine, but figure out a strategy that makes sense. You by yourself in a condo doesn't make sense. You and your family in that nice neighborhood with a basement full of food and ammo does not make sense. You need to put together a community. Your community is no longer Seattle. It probably never was. After 2020 and the mindfuckery your government of Seattle did to you, why would you call any of it community at all? So if you want to stay in the city, fine, but figure your shit out. Understand who your neighbors are. Get to know them. And if you found out that all your neighbors hate you, again I say, get the fuck out. Because if they hate you today, yeah, stop watching the Disney movies. If they hate you today, they're not going to suddenly love you when their kids are screaming at night because they've had no food to eat. No. They won't suddenly love you more. It'll just be easier for them to objectify you and treat you as worth less, worth nothing, basically. As a body to be taken out. And if they need your food, they'll steal your food. But how do you convince somebody who's sitting on a home that they think is worth a half a mil or a million or 2 million bucks, right? That they're going to retire and heli-ski and travel to all these cool countries, and they're going to do all these things. How do you convince that person that none of that's going to happen? That you will get no warning, zero warning from the people you supposedly trust. That one day things will seem kind of normal, and then within a matter of days, everything will turn to shit, because that's what happens to lopsided shit piles, is they just kind of fall over. They don't gracefully flatten themselves. They just fall over. And when this shit pile falls over, don't be underneath it. But how do you convince a person that's been flipping homes for 20 years that that's over? How do you convince a person that's a day trader that that's all over? How do you convince some Bitcoin crypto freak that that grift is over? It may not be over today, but you don't know when, neither do I. All I know is it can't last very long. That all this is way past its shelf life. It was 10 years ago, way past its shelf life today. You unscrew the cap on the milk, it smells bad. That's where we're at in the game. How do you convince these people that have a reality fed to them through a quote-unquote smart device that they believe is the truth? They won't even look up at the sky. They won't even look around and look at nature. They won't ask simple logical questions because their smart device is telling them everything's fucking okay. How do you convince those people? And the answer is you can't. Not most of them. Like maybe 1 in 100 is still able to unravel the skein of broken logic in their brains to recognize simple facts like, hey, you're a free human being, and the only person you can really trust to look out for you is you, the people you love, the members of your real community. How do you convince a person that lives in Seattle that their real community is not Facebook, not Twitter, but honestly, it's the people that live in their building? And if those people are not their community, then you need to get the fuck out. Okay? Because the time is coming where people toss people off the ship. And if you're on the wrong boat, you might get tossed. You, your family, the people you love and care about, dumped into the sea. And guess what? It doesn't make you special. It doesn't make me special. The tragedy of human history doesn't make one motherfucker special. You can have as many movies as you want to, produced by Steven Spielberg, and there is nothing that makes murder and destruction special. It has been part of government history for 7,000 fucking years. Governments have been doing shit like this since forever. They've been committing atrocities. They've been created. They fail. They leave wreckage in their aftermath. And then they leave behind cult members who think they can get it right the next time. The next time it'll work, Dan. I promise you, the next time we elect a king or put together a special committee, the next time we listen to the fucking lawyers, it'll work this time, Dan. Well, yeah, maybe, right? But on this side of the mountain, you're not going to convince anybody. Anybody. Not really. Not very many people. So almost no one. On this side of the mountain, 1 in 100 people will listen. Most people will just shake their heads and say everything's fine. And they'll think that they're being strong by doing that. I mean, I gotta say, there is a kind of peaceful strength to cattle. Because I don't understand what they do. They must, on some level, have an understanding, at least towards the end, of what's coming. I know Temple Grandin did a lot to help out, to reduce the shock, and to essentially gaslight the fuck out of cattle so they don't know they're about to die. Or even what death is, right? There are people that think it's strong to be like the cattle, to be harvested, to be fed, to be led around by the nose, to be put down a chute towards a dude with a hydraulic piston to blow out their brains. They think there's something strong about obedience and it is in many ways the ultimate form of weakness. Okay, there is no strength in obedience. There is nothing noble about doing what you're told. In fact, it's one of the more ignoble things. The only thing less noble than obedience is being a fucking bully. Or, you know, the government. But just almost as bad as that is being one of these fucking slaves that won't ask a fucking question. Won't even put into question their beliefs for a second because, hey, my home is worth $1 million and I make 200 grand a year and crypto's gonna rebound and it's gonna be just a recession, just stagflation, maybe hyperinflation, New World Order FEMA camp takeover. Yeah, keep bargaining, buddy. Keep dreaming. You know? You want a picture of the future. There's this film, I think it's from the 70s, The Ultimate Warrior. And I think that's closer to what you'll be looking at for a lot of cities. You know? Even absent some type of World War III. And most of you are not Yul Brynner. And most of you are not, like, you know, perfectly trained killing machines. And you just don't have enough bullets. You don't. There aren't enough bullets, folks. There aren't enough guns or bullets to deal with the total rage of human history. There aren't enough bullets or guns to deal with billions of people that might not have any food for 5 or 6 weeks in a row. Not enough bullets for it, brothers and sisters. You can take all the fear and all the vaccine injuries that I think are also a lot of bullshit. You can take all that psyop crap and put it in a cannon and shoot it up your butt. And there's not enough of any of it to keep what is going to happen from happening. Not enough. And if these are the end times, which, again, I'm not sure they are, but if these are the end times, then it's going to happen because it is written. It is prophecy. It is the Lord's word. It's simply going to happen. And if you're an atheist and or these are not the end times, this is just the nature of human history. This is how things unfold. There are good times and there are bad times. And sometimes it's so bad, people think it's the end of the world. And it's not. Fine. But on this side of the mountain, I don't know how you convince people that they can make choices other than simply obeying, other than obedience. I don't know how you do it. I don't think you can. It makes what I do a bit futile. And it's also probably why I've adopted the lifestyle I've adopted, because I may not be able to convince a lot of stupid motherfuckers to avoid suicide and harming their families. I probably can't convince them to avoid this, but I don't have to participate, do I? I don't have to listen to their shit. I don't have to live in their fucking city. I don't have to play pretend. I can go and be my own person someplace else. And when the screams of pain ring out from all these cities in the not too distant future, I might hear the echoes, but at least I'm far enough away that you better be ready, buddy, to get where I'm at. There's a, you know, east-west mountain range, deserts, you know, south, east, and west. I mean, basically, I live in a good spot. And within a couple years, all these shitty roads will return to garbage. I mean, that's why they have to do the road maintenance pretty much every year. So yeah, I'm not worried about most of you dumbass motherfuckers crossing the fucking desert. I'm not. I'm really, really not. It's not as easy as it sounds, especially if you're not the only person with that idea. Not worried about you guys crossing the desert. Not worried about you guys going over the mountains. Most of you motherfuckers will be stuck in the worst version of musical chairs ever. Where you're at is where you're going to die. That's it. You can pray the crazies kill each other fast. I mean, that's always a good outcome, right? You can pray that in the first few weeks, all the crazies take each other out. But it's way more likely that it's going to be quiet and then explosive. It's way more likely that there'll be something that breaks and then the whole dam comes down. And when it happens, it'll be worse than the worst zombie movie ever, okay? Way worse. It'll be real. And I know it sounds like sour grapes in a way, because, you know, why would I be doing this and why would it matter? And why do I care? I do care because there are people I love who I think are probably in a very difficult situation. And from their perspective, they probably think I'm crazy. And I don't think there's any resolution to that except for time. Like, it's possible in 5 years, I look back and say, Dan, you were crazy. You were crazy. You were worried about nothing. It's entirely possible that that's what happens. It's also possible that there are a lot of people that very soon I will never hear from again. And do I pray for my family and my friends? Of course I do. And do I hope that the Lord Jesus watches over them? I know that He does. But I also know that this is the land of consequences and outcomes, and shit happens. And you should accept the fact that you don't go to hell for making the wrong decision. So if you think that this is about your eternal soul, it's not. It's basically about the last part of your life being horrible. You'll still go to heaven if you have faith. You'll still not go if you don't. How you want to spend your ice cream cone, if you want to take your ice cream cone, that Ecclesiastes life, and go to the nearest scummy gutter in Seattle and rub it in there, that's your choice. It's your life. You don't go to hell for doing that. You don't. I think the Lord in heaven would prefer that we make better choices, but you don't go to hell for making those kinds of bad choices. You don't. So as far as, you know, the people I love are concerned, as long as they've found Jesus, yeah, stay in the city. Go down with the ship. If you feel like you have the stomach to see the worst things you could possibly imagine, or rather can't even imagine, if you feel like you want to be there for the smell and the stink, if you feel like you want to run the risk of being brutally murdered and in some cases raped, then yeah, stay in these public school voter cities. See what happens to your brothers and sisters when voting and cops is no longer a solution. Find out, you know, fuck around and find out and accept it. Accept it with your eyes fucking open. Accept what could happen. I've accepted. Believe me, 10 years ago when I started going down this road, I knew that it would be basically professional suicide. But I also knew that I couldn't live life the way that I had been living it, and I could not live life the way that all the normal people told me it should be lived. I couldn't. I can't change what our government does. If our government wants to set fire to a village, it's gonna do it as long as it's got the money. If our government wants to torture orphans in Denmark, I'm sure the Danes will help out. If our government wants to do wretched, terrible, scummy fucking shit, it is going to do it right up until the last minute. Right up until every one of those parasites leaves the system and the entire body, skein bag, the skin sack that contains the parasites now splits open and they spread everywhere. But until that day, if the government wants to do horribly wretched shit, it will simply do that shit. I can't stop it, neither can you. But you can choose to not participate in it. You can. You can choose to distance yourself. You can choose within the Death Star to say, you know, maybe there's something ethically more valuable to me spiritually, making less fucking money on the Death Star. Like, maybe I can't make zero because I need a certain amount of money to eat, to have shelter, to have water, but I don't have to necessarily make the billions to keep the death machine going. That is a choice we can make. I can't say you shouldn't have a job because I need a fucking job. But what I can say is you can choose not to participate in crypto. You can choose not to participate in the house flipping bullshit. You can choose not to participate in the stock market or any of these crooked schemes. You can choose to not touch the unclean thing. There are choices you can make. Choices we can all make. But on this side of the mountain, yeah, you want to get mocked at this point, because we're so very close, you'd probably have some of the most exquisite mocking from people who would call themselves friends and family. On this side of the mountain, you're not going to convince these voters that voting doesn't work. You're not going to convince them that the system is broken. You're not going to convince them that paying taxes is not just theft, but it's absurd, given how much money printing happens at the Federal Reserve. You're not going to convince them of shit, really. What you can do, though, is not participate in the stupid shit that is optional. You don't have to vote. Nobody's going to throw you in prison for not voting. There's one kind of waste of fucking time you can choose to not participate in. You can tune it all out. You don't need to care about Biden or Trump or any of the Democrats or Republicans. That is an optional mind fuck that you can opt out of any fucking time. And as far as the government goes, you can obey the laws you feel you need to. Okay, there's a number of laws that we all break every single day. Some of us do it consciously, like me. A lot of you motherfuckers do it unconsciously or without knowledge. Well, too bad. And these laws, they're not about right and wrong. They're mostly about power and control. So if you recognize ethically what they are and you feel like you can get away with it, why wouldn't you? I mean, why wouldn't you opt out? As far as taxes goes, good luck. Good luck collecting money from people who are broke. Good luck collecting money from people that are so close to the edge they want to harm themselves or harm others. Good luck sending tax agents out there in 2022 Boblimtok. I get you can go after a guy with a mansion or a gal with a jet airplane. I get that you can do that, but motherfuckers like me, good luck enforcing the tax code. What do you think happens next? Oh, we'll fill up the jails, and then what? Oh, we'll have jails and factories. I did that in SimCity 2000. It doesn't even work in a video game. Good luck. Good luck with your plans of putting people on some fucking island, McNeil Island or something, in the Puget Sound. Good luck, you know, saying, oh, we'll just ship people to the desert. Did I say these people learn their ethics in public school? Good luck rounding up the crazies when the reality becomes clear. No one is coming to save you. No one's coming to protect you from them. Good luck. You see, that's what scares most of you motherfuckers, most of you boomers, even you so-called conservative ones. What scares the fuck out of you is that there's not going to be a FEMA camp. There's not going to be a robot artificial intelligence. There's not going to be aliens. There's not going to be any of that bullshit. And the New World Order is just the biggest pile of shit you can imagine. What scares the fuck out of you is it's gone. All of it. You just don't know it yet. If you like this podcast, and I don't see how you could, if you enjoy this podcast, and I'm not sure why, then you can donate. You shouldn't donate if you don't have the money. You shouldn't donate if you don't like the podcast. I don't care. You can donate if you don't like it. I'm just not going to read your angry email necessarily. Maybe I will. If you've taken care of your food, your water, your shelter, if you've taken care of the people you love, to include any pets, and I'm serious, you've tried to make the preparations you can make, I think having up to a year's worth of food on hand is not entirely crazy at this point for you and the people you love, to include your pets. And if you've realized that there isn't an amount of ammo or food that's going to guarantee anything, which means you're mentally prepared. You're mentally prepared for the reality that no matter how much prepping you did, you might have done a bunch of prepping or you might have done almost none. No matter how much prepping you have done, there is no guarantee. There aren't enough bullets. If you understand these things and you still have gorillions, I mean cocaine billions, I mean trillions and trillions of Fed bucks, if you have the money you want to PayPal me, you can, fucker. You can. It's a choice. It's your choice. I'm not going to force you. How could I? I mean, I guess I could use some type of crude mind control technique. But how could I? I love you, baby. Indeed, if you've taken care of all the things you need to take care of and you want to donate to this podcast, there'll be a link for donations in the notes. You donate as many gorillions of dollars as you want to. And as far as the rest goes, maybe this was just a rant in the darkness, right? No notes, you know? Just me ranting for almost an hour about shit on my mind. You know, I have met, before I go, I just say this, I've met some anarchists in recent years, some of whom might be feds, some might not be, but I've met a few anarchists who've decided to rebrand themselves. I'm a voluntarist. I'm a crypto anarchist. They don't really want to call themselves an anarchist because they're frankly scared of the word. They let the government scare them, and it's really sad. It's a kind of intellectual cowardness. The reason why I'm not afraid of the word anarchist is because I know that A, it's a powerful word, and if you understand what it means, it has a lot of power to educate and to change, but also B, it is who I am. It is how I was born, and in reality, it is how every motherfucker on the planet Earth was and is born, period. You were born free. If your freedom is taken away, it is a choice that you make. And you can make other choices to break out of it. I don't care if you're in the darkest dungeon, in the worst prison in the world. I don't care if you're in front of a firing squad. I don't care if you're in a public school, a university, or working some stupid corporate fucking job. Your dignity and your power and your liberty is yours. Period. The choices you make about harming yourself are choices you make. You can choose to not be harmed, but it requires recognizing a few things, one of which is the voting's never going to work. It never did. It never will. Period. Have a great Wednesday.